Shepard, let me interrupt you just one moment. We have a bulletin here. Another pronouncement from Frank Mankiewicz, Senator Robert Kennedy's new secretary, who has revealed that Senator Kennedy is in an intensive care unit at Good Samaritan Hospital. Asked about his condition, Mankiewicz said he's alive. That's the only information we have there. Now, Gary Shepard, we'll go back to you.
Neil, we were about to introduce a report by KNX reporter Bob Ferris, who was at the Ambassador Hotel when the shooting took place, and who now describes for us what happened when the suspect, the man who fired the shots, was captured and carried out of the hotel. Here is Bob Ferris's report.
Yes, I've just gotten an interview with a chap by the name of Joe LaHive, who was one of the gentlemen who captured the suspect, or the prime suspect in this shooting. I know the type of gun it was, I know who captured him, and I will try to detail it as quickly as possible. Joe LaHive is a backer of Kennedy. He's a big man, about 6 feet 2 inches tall. Right behind him was Rosie Greer, the huge football player for the Los Angeles Rams, and near both of them was Rafer Johnson, who, of course, is also a big man. When the small, Filipino-looking, now we hear, suspect had finished shooting, and he apparently shot about four or five shots out of a Colt-type revolver, which later Roosevelt Greer grabbed out of his hand and handed to Rafer Johnson. The gun is now in custody. Then Rafer Johnson literally threw his body in between where Senator Kennedy had gone to the floor and the suspect to block off any further shots. Rosie was not shot, but he did insert his body so that there would be no further shots. Then immediately fell on the suspect, so to speak. Joe LaHive at the same time grabbed him by the legs and assisted in getting him to the floor. And at the same time, Rafer Johnson did the same thing. So therefore, three big men wrestled this youngster to the floor. He apparently was a man about between 20 and 25, of swarthy complexion, but not a Negro, as we understand it right now. What happened when the man was wrestled to the floor? He kept shouting brutality, brutality, and things of that nature. He was fuzzy, curly-headed. Then Rafer and Rosie Greer picked him up, actually, and started rushing him toward the door to the embassy room. Now, what I saw was after they had picked up an escort of police who were armed with sawed-off shotguns, and these police and Roosevelt Greer and Rafer Johnson and this man Joe LaHive were rushing the man out, and the escort of police were keeping everybody else away from the suspect. The suspect was then rushed out of the hotel and is now being questioned at police headquarters. He was not injured, but apparently was cringing as he rushed out when I saw him in fear of being injured. Because as he passed through the lobby, almost everybody who saw him was trying to get at him in order to commit some sort of mayhem on him. Joe LaHive said all that they did, they did not try to injure the young man because they wanted to save him for questioning to find out, as he put it, what causes people to do horrible things of this nature. As for the second suspect, Joe LaHive did not see him. He said that when the shots rang out, they were in staccato fashion, four or five shots, and he said either the one suspect fired four or five shots to extreme speed out of the Colt-type revolver, or else there were two suspects and they were both firing at the time. We now hear down there here that one, we understand an ABC newsman was wounded, also a woman was wounded, and also a child was wounded. We do not know the extent of the injuries, but that is the situation and that is the way that it occurred.
And that was newsman Bob Ferris of station KNX speaking from the Ambassador Hotel here in Los Angeles. Another eyewitness to the shooting was Dr. Marcus McBroom, a member of the senator's speaking bureau here in Los Angeles. The doctor had helped place the senator into the ambulance after he was carried from the hotel, and he now describes the scene as he stood nearby.
I was coming out of the meeting. Senator Kennedy had just finished speaking, and the word went out that his wife was feeling a bit faint, and he was coming through the kitchen. And people were sort of giving him a little room. And suddenly this young man, apparently Caucasian, seemed to be about 27 years of age, started to approaching the senator directly from the front. And somebody was sort of speaking to him. I think it may have been Speaker Unruh, And he sort of turned to his left for a moment, and then suddenly this young man started firing. And at this time, the last impressions I had was Rosie Greer and Rafer Johnson moving rapidly to apprehend the man, but he seemed to have fired 6 shots. There was what I'm trying to describe. There was elation, and then sudden horror, and then shock. And then one of the women, the last thing I saw, one of the women looked back in my direction and screamed, "Get a doctor, he has been shot." So thinking about the late president, I immediately decided the thing to do was get a surgeon, get a doctor in there. I went out in the hall and located Dr. Ross Miller and another doctor that I know personally. And then we had a terrible time getting by the guard. By the time we got back in, senator had been removed. But there was one man from, I believe, the Associated Press, who had been shot in the back of the head, a very serious wound. Another young man shot in the, I saw the wound, in his left side. Another young man shot in the left leg. And a woman went down, who was down. I immediately got Dr. Miller there and had him examining them. We broke down some of the serving tables and made improvised stretchers and got them down the rear corridors where I had the police summon ambulances.
Dr. Marcus McBroom, a member of the Kennedy staff here in Los Angeles and an eyewitness to the shooting. Neil?
Thank you, Gary Shepard. Once again, the latest we have on the condition of Senator Robert Kennedy at Good Samaritan Hospital. Kennedy's press aide, Frank Mankiewicz, has now reported that the senator is in an intensive care unit at the hospital. And when he was asked about his condition, Mankiewicz's only comment was, "He's alive." Senator Eugene McCarthy today called off plans to go to Seattle in furtherance of his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. As we've reported, McCarthy returned to the ballroom headquarters at his hotel after hearing of the Kennedy shooting and asked all those present to say prayers for his rival for the Democratic presidential nomination. McCarthy was the loser in the California primary and had appeared some hours before that in his ballroom to say that he was not by any means pulling out of the race. He told his supporters, "We're just starting." Regardless of the outcome in California, McCarthy said, "We're just starting. We're all tested and tried and ready for the long fight. We haven't been influenced by polls or predictions, and we are not now." And he went on to say, "We're prepared to carry on with our program, and my candidacy can best present it to the country." Of course, those California primary results, together with the victory in South Dakota's primary for Senator Robert Kennedy, had in the senator's view put him back in the presidential race. He had said, "On to Chicago, and we're going to win there," to his supporters just minutes before he was shot there when he was leaving the ballroom, shot in the kitchen at the Embassy Hotel. And CBS News correspondent Terry Drinkwater talked with Martin Christie, a waiter at the hotel where Kennedy was shot.
This time, do you know whether he is in this area?
I'll go back out in the crowd and see if I can't bring someone up here.
Would you do that, Bob? If you could bring someone else up here, it might give us a little light while I'm reconstructing.
In the kitchen as he was coming through, and there was this guy leaning against the steam table, and Carl was pushing him. Carl Yucker, our captain, was pushing him by his left hand, trying to get him through the little crowd that was there. And all of a sudden, this guy jumped out and he started firing the gun, and they let Carl jumped out and grabbed the guy by the neck, and he let go of the senator, and the senator started to go down towards his knees. I think he was hit up around the head, around the temple or somewhere around there. I don't know for sure. And all of a sudden, there was another guy alongside of him, about 2 feet. He started to fall down, and shots just seemed to, you know, keep firing. I say about 5-6 shots.
Can you describe what the man with the gun looked like?
Well, he had curly hair, and he looked like a Filipino.
Did he say or shout anything?
No, nothing that I heard, because everyone was screaming, "Grab him, get the gun, get the senator," and, you know, it was just a commotion. Everyone started to pile in at the time. It sounded like a cap pistol or a firecracker going off in the kitchen.
That's, was there only one person with a gun, only one person shooting?
That's all that I've seen shooting, yes.
This is Charles Kuralt at CBS News in New York. To recap briefly the events of the last couple of hours, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, was shot, apparently shot in the head twice early today by a gunman whose action turned a scene of political success for Senator Kennedy into one of confusion and tragedy. Three other people also were wounded, at least three others. Reports on that detail are also conflicting at this hour. The apparent gunman was captured. And the most encouraging word we have came about an hour ago from Frank Mankiewicz, the press secretary of Senator Kennedy, who said his condition was stable, that he's breathing well and had a good heart, that he was not, however, conscious. Mankiewicz told newsmen that Senator Kennedy was shot in the forehead and near the right ear. A man who's described as being about 25 years old and of Latin or Filipino appearance was seized immediately by aides of Senator Kennedy as he waved a small caliber pistol.
Charles, I'm told we have CBS News correspondent Roger Budd with Frank Mankiewicz in a report on the senator's condition. Or we will have shortly.
First, from Frank Mankiewicz, we had the word that the senator was breathing well, and then a later word, just that he is still alive. We'll be getting that report shortly.
As I recall, Charles Mankiewicz had reported earlier that the senator had been shot twice in the head. Once in the forehead, once near the ear, I believe.
Yes, as is so often the case with a great number of eyewitnesses in a scene of turmoil and confusion, there were conflicting reports on exactly where Senator Kennedy was shot, but six shots were apparently fired. Now we're going to go to Roger Mudd.
This is Roger Mudd, about a block from the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. Frank Mankiewicz, who is the senator's Washington press secretary, emerged through the glass doors of the hospital about 5 minutes ago to report that the senator is alive, is all right, is breathing by himself, and is now in the intensive care ward of the Good Samaritan Hospital. About an hour before that, Mankiewicz reported from the central receiving hospital that the senator had suffered at least two wounds, one in the forehead, one in the right ear or over the right ear. His heartbeat was good, his breathing was good, his condition was stable, and the bleeding had been stopped. Since being transferred to the Good Samaritan Hospital, at least three doctors have been called in, one a cardiovascular surgeon, Dr. David Sachs, another an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Mark Stern, and a fourth doctor whose specialty is not known, a Dr. Maxwell Handler. The other victims of the shooting tonight at the Ambassador Hotel include Mr. Paul Schrade, a union official with United Auto Workers, Mr. William Wiesel, a television director for the American Broadcasting Company, and a young Los Angeles boy, 17-year-old Irwin Stoll. Their wounds are described as superficial, although producing heavy bleeding. The union official, Mr. Schrade, took a superficial scalp wound. Mr. Wiesel of ABC was wounded in the left side of his abdomen, and young Mr. Stroll took a superficial leg wound. Mr. Mankiewicz, the senator's press secretary, promised at his last report to return with a more complete medical bulletin. This is Roger Mudd, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Alive, all right, and breathing well. That word is somewhat more encouraging than a word we'd had earlier about the condition of Senator Kennedy. The latest word, as you've just heard from Senator Kennedy's press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz. The labor leader who was wounded in this attack on Senator Kennedy is a regional union leader whom Senator Kennedy had thanked just a couple of minutes before as he stood on the platform in the embassy room of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles making his rather lighthearted victory statement and thanking his California supporters for the victory that he won tonight against Senator Eugene McCarthy in the race for the presidency.
Charles, we have a note here from Hyannisport, Massachusetts. A spokesman for the family of Joseph P. Kennedy, the senator's father, said early today that the former ambassador and his wife would be told of the shooting of their son when they awoke this morning. Miss Ann Gargan, who is the niece and companion to the elder Kennedy, said she would await word from Senator Kennedy's staff on the exact condition of the senator before notifying the elder Kennedy and his wife. Both were asleep at the Kennedy compound in Hyannisport, she said. Miss Gargan said the elder Kennedy previously had expressed a view that it's better to wait when there is nothing you can do. Of course, he's been an invalid for a good many years now. She said she would wait until receiving word on the condition before she tells him about it. In the meantime, she said there would be, of course, no immediate reaction from the family to the shootings. But, Charles, what a blow it will be when they find out that they've had a second son attacked by a would-be assassin.
Well, of course, that's so. Tragedy has just, of course, just stalked that family, and here it is again.
Yes, the older brother was killed in the war, Joseph.
And Ethel Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's wife, was nearby when these shots rang out. And John Hart of CBS News told us that she took his arm and asked his help in reaching the side of Robert Kennedy. When she got to his side, she said a few words to him. Nobody there was able to observe whether he was able to answer. As for Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, the widow of Senator Kennedy's brother, the president, she has heard the news. She was in London, wasn't she?
The report came from London by way of her sister. Jacqueline Kennedy is in New York.
Oh, I see.
But her sister had called from London and gave her the news, was the way it happened. And then her sister, Lee Radziwill, talked to newsmen in London. That's why we have the London Dateline on the story. We have a story here with the Saigon Dateline. American GIs and civilians in Saigon were stunned and angered today by news of the shooting. Oh, my God, was the immediate reaction of several servicemen, according to this report. The U.S. Armed Forces radio broadcast wire service bulletins of the shooting to the 530,000 American troops in Vietnam. And this report tells us the Saigon Bureau of the Associated Press and other news offices were deluged by telephone calls asking for details of the shooting.
We have some details now from CBS News correspondent David Shoemaker. He has been accompanying Senator McCarthy through this California primary, and now he has details of Senator Eugene McCarthy's reaction to the shooting. We'll have that report shortly from David Shoemaker. Senator McCarthy's reaction was to go back down to the ballroom where he had conceded his defeat in the California primary and asked his supporters to join him in a moment of silent prayer for the recovery of Senator Kennedy. Now we'll go to that report from Dave Shoemaker.
Senator McCarthy was watching television in his bedroom in his suite here in the Beverly Hilton Hotel with several members of his staff and a few friends when word was brought in, at first only a rumor, of course, that Senator Kennedy had been shot. A few moments after that, Mrs. McCarthy came in from another room in the suite, and the senator sat on a couch with his head in his hands, watching quietly as the story unfolded on the screen. Their first concern was for their children. Several of the McCarthy children were in the suite. Mary and Ellen both were outside the suite. They were all brought to be with their parents so that Mr. and Mrs. McCarthy knew they were safe. And about the same time, a police guard was thrown up on the seventh floor of the hotel, and reporters and well-wishers and friends of the senator were asked to leave. They are now in seclusion. We understand that the senator's schedule for tomorrow, which included a trip to Seattle, Washington, has been canceled, and it appears that he will return to Washington, D.C. sometime during the day.
To repeat the latest word on Senator Kennedy's condition, his press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz, who is speaking to reporters at the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles, the second hospital to which Senator Kennedy has been taken tonight, told newsmen just a few minutes ago that the senator is alive and breathing well. Earlier he had said Senator Kennedy's condition was stable. After the shots rang out a couple of hours ago in Los Angeles, a number of doctors in the crowd rushed to Senator Kennedy's side. One of those said that on the basis of his cursory examination, he would have to describe the senator's condition as critical. Senator Kennedy was taken to the Central Receiving Hospital of Los Angeles, a place where in Los Angeles all emergency accident cases and the like are taken, and then very quickly moved to the intensive care unit at the Good Samaritan Hospital, where Frank Mankiewicz reports that he is still alive and breathing well.
Charles, we keep talking about Senator Kennedy's victory and Senator McCarthy's defeat in California. It might be well to say that that's on the basis of vote projection analyses. And actually, the vote has been very slow in coming in out there, particularly in Los Angeles County and in Fresno. And the actual vote count, the last one sent over the wire, and I must say the wire has been very busy now for a couple of hours, the last vote count had only 24% of the ballots actually registered, 5,123 precincts or something like that. And at that time, that was the first time during the vote count that Senator Kennedy had pulled into the lead. And it was that count that brought him down to the ballroom to claim victory, because the vote's still out or in a section of California, particularly Los Angeles County, where he's known to be running very, very well. At that time, Kennedy had 278,251 for 44% of the vote. McCarthy, 268,806 for 43%. And that uncommitted slate of convention delegates headed by the state attorney general, Thomas Lynch, had 13% of the vote. And, of course, in the Republican presidential primary, Ronald Reagan, the California governor, was all alone and, of course, taking all the votes in it.
We have no way of knowing, of course, until we learn a great deal more about Senator Kennedy's condition, what effect this awful evening will have on the presidential race, which just 2 hours ago was the great story of the night, that Senator Kennedy, after trailing in the count of the votes, had surged ahead. Both he and his principal opponent in California, Senator Eugene McCarthy, obviously assumed that that meant he was going ahead to stay, inasmuch as most of those uncounted votes came from Los Angeles County. And he had just been involved in a scene of political triumph when these five or six shots turned everything around and turned that scene of triumph into one of shock.
He was so happy there on the platform that he stood there for long minutes, thanking almost everyone, and including, as a matter of fact, Paul Schrade, one of the other men who was shot, thanking even his dog, Freckles. Then his wife, and he said that didn't mean that ordered to be significant.
One of the people who was present in that jubilant political scene, and also present minutes later when Senator Kennedy was shot, was Ray McMacken, a reporter at CBS station KNX in Los Angeles. We have... we're going to talk with Raymond Mackin a bit later, but just now we're going to switch to Good Samaritan Hospital for the latest word on Senator Kennedy's condition.
The right mastoid bone behind the right ear and has gone to the midline of the skull. That bullet is lodged in his brain, and they will operate within a very few minutes in an attempt to remove it. His breathing is good and unassisted. His heart is good. is unconscious, and the doctors describe his condition as very critical. And that's all I can tell you, and I can't answer any questions.
Has he been conscious at all?
He's not conscious.
That is Frank Mankiewicz, Senator Kennedy's press aide. He has just described the condition of the senator as very critical. A team of neurosurgeons will start operating on Senator Kennedy very shortly. He is suffering from two wounds, one a superficial shoulder wound, the other much more serious head wound, a bullet lodged, and if I am quoting correctly, it's Mankiewicz.
There you have the latest word.
The condition of Senator Kennedy is now apparent, and it's obviously quite a serious wound indeed. A superficial shoulder wound, and much more important, a bullet lodged in the brain. We heard Frank Mankiewicz, the senator's press secretary, describe the wound. He said that a bullet had lodged in the brain at the midline of the skull and that there would be an operation very shortly to attempt to remove that bullet. He described Senator Kennedy as unconscious and his condition as very critical. Now we go to CBS News correspondent Gary Shepard.
Neil, with me in the studio here in Los Angeles is Ray McMacken, who was in the embassy room of the Ambassador Hotel at the time of the shooting. Ray, perhaps you could start from the beginning and just explain how it happened and what you saw.
Well, Gary, to start from the beginning again, I am not quite composed yet because I was right there. I was not assigned to Senator Kennedy. I had another local candidate, but he was over with earlier, so I came back to the studio and they sent me back down to help the first crew down there. So I got there just as Senator Kennedy was on the podium, and he was already speaking when I got there. I couldn't get through to the other side, so that left me, of course, right by the door to the kitchen. And I was walking around there, and I heard most of this speech. So when he left the podium, I went through the door, and he came towards me. And we sort of joined together as newsmen and, you know, personalities do. He didn't want to answer questions or anything, but I had my recorder going. And we went through this other door into the concrete floor, long runway type place in the kitchen. In other words, you go through two doors into an anteroom off the back of the podium, and then you go through this other door down a long place, and there was cement floor. And the fellow from another network with a beard, Piers Anderson, I believe is his name, we were right beside each other when it just exploded in my face. And this woman, I'll never forget it, but she just turned around and she had a hole right between her, right on her forehead there, a big splat of blood, and I don't know where she was hit because she was still talking, and she looked me right in the face, and I turned around, and there was this other newsman, quite heavy set but young, and he just sat down, and then they put him in a chair,